Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Friday update from the State House. We have a couple of things to update you all on today. I just wanted to remind you all that this call is sponsored by Cornerstone Government Affairs, our contract lobbyists down at the Capitol who've been working extremely hard this session on your priorities. So we also just ask that you don't share the information as this is a member benefit. And we have a lot of things to update you on. So I'm just going to kind of jump right in. This past week has been the 14th week of the 89th General Assembly. They have been extremely busy down there, both in the House and the Senate. On Tuesday, the Senate held back-to-back committee meetings to approve most of the governor's board appointees, which is something that needs to happen. They'll now go to the Senate for full consideration there, which it looks like they're going to be doing that here next week. The Senate didn't have any sort of floor action this week, so they were busy negotiating, talking about the various budgets and working through some things in their caucus to come to a decision on several bills that are hanging out there. They are expected to be in all of next week, where it sounds like the House is going to have a little bit slower of a week next week. So we'll keep you posted on any changes that we hear there, because again, there are a lot of changes this time of year. So I always like to talk about some of the bills that have sort of been dominating the State House throughout the various weeks. And this past week on Wednesday, House File 654, which is a bill addressing the carrying of permitted guns on public property in Iowa, that had a pretty lengthy debate, and it was amended throughout that process and passed 62 in favor to 37. So that now goes to the Senate for consideration. And so that's kind of the bill that sort of dominated the headlines. When it comes to bills that more specifically impact our providers, one bill of note that was on the move this week related to nursing facilities was House File 708. And what that does is it requires DHHS to implement a Medicaid reimbursement, an add-on methodology for residents who meet nursing facility level of care and are required to register as sex offenders. This is one of those issues that's been on, and particularly in the House, that's been on the HHS chair's radar for many, many years. He and I have had conversations about this, and he's been searching for a solution. And I think that this is sort of the starting point in establishing some sort of path forward for ensuring that they have the level of care that they need. So we did find a fiscal note came out this past week, and it's a pretty significant impact. It's estimated to cost the state between roughly $550,000 to $4.1 million in fiscal year 2024. It just sort of depends on the number of Medicaid sex offenders that are housed at nursing facilities. That is predicted to cost between $229,000 and $1.8 million in fiscal year 2025. So they do break it down by, you know, total cost in a 12-person facility, a 48-person facility, and a 95-person facility. So they do have that broken down, and there are various costs associated with that, obviously. And if you are interested in that, they do have the fiscal note listed under the bill on the Iowa Legislature website. Again, that bill number is House File 708. If you would like to read more into that or have any questions about it, you can also reach out to myself or Brent or Brandon, and we'd be happy to, you know, to send you the fiscal note or walk you through any questions that you might have about that reimbursement or that add-on. The other big things that are happening right now, leadership in both chambers are continuing to have conversations on the budget. Everyone is trying to reach a consensus on their overall targets. You know, they are, the House and the Senate are about $95 million apart, on their budget target. So I do know that there have been conversations already between, the governor's office, and Senate leadership and House leadership on what that you know, difference looks like and where they think that maybe they can start negotiating on getting a little bit closer in their numbers. So we don't have any major updates as far as that, what that looks like specifically. Again, we do know that the governor and her budget put $15 million in for nursing facilities. The Senate came out with the same budget as the governor. The House has yet to release their specific numbers for nursing facilities. But again, we expect that, you know, possibly within the next week or so, they're going to be coming out with those specific numbers and their budget. Once they do come out with that and that bill is assigned to the Appropriations Subcommittee in the House, we will probably be sending, well, I know we will be sending out a call to action. We are in the process of developing that now. And we really want to put that out there and have everyone we possibly can, not only, folks that work in the facilities, but the family members, the community members, whoever can reach out to their legislator, in their district and encourage them for that funding. So that will probably, like I said, I predict that the bill will drop next week at some point, and then we will immediately send out a, call all on alert for the call to action from all of our members. So keep your eyes open for that. With regards to assisted living and home health, again, we continue to have those conversations, not only with, DHHS, but certainly with the governor's office and with the House and Senate leadership. So we feel good about that. Again, we don't have those numbers specifically yet, but certainly when they do come out, we will keep you all posted. Again, we sort of feel that there's a little bit more momentum with regards to the waiver and the HCBS services and LUPA. So we will have more specifics again during these last couple of weeks. We're not sure exactly when the session will end, but I talked to a legislator yesterday and was, sort of imploring him to give me information on what he thought the remainder of the session looked like. And he said it could be 7 days or it could be 2 months. So I don't know what to make of that, but it is the time of year, again, that things get really competitive and intense down there during these budget discussions. So we will continue to have a very strong presence down at the Capitol. Next week, Brandon and I spent a lot of time there this week, as well as Cornerstone. And our intention is to go down and continue to work the House and the Senate on our three appropriations requests all of next week and really until the session is over. And we know we have a good grip on what those numbers look like. So that is where we're at with regards to, the budget. And again, this process is really long, and it's I don't envy the people that are in the position of negotiating. Senator Whitver, Speaker Grassley, and the governor have all been very strong supporters of our three sectors in the past. We anticipate that they will continue to be supportive. It's just really, we're at a point where we just don't have the specific numbers as of yet. So that is where we're at on those particular issues. Again, we're always keeping an eye out for anything that could adversely impact all of our providers. We haven't seen anything, it's snuck into an appropriations bill yet, but again, not all of them are out. So we just are being very mindful of that. We do continue to have ongoing discussions with DHHS on some of the issues that we need to collaborate with them. But otherwise, again, we're just sort of in the conversation stage of the budget process. Brent, I know that you're on. Is there anything that you would want to add? I know Brandon is not able to join us today. Excuse me, but Brent, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I guess one thing, just to reiterate Maria's comment, that just stay tuned for a call to action from the association. We just don't know exactly when that's going to be. As you all know, our strategy, longstanding strategy, is to strike at really what we feel is the exact right time and not to spread these things out where they would have less impact. So when you see that call to action, it does mean that we think the time is right, and we're asking all members to respond and respond quickly and aggressively. So as soon as that comes out, that's we appreciate you in advance prioritizing that, both in your own inboxes and those of those that you lead within the membership. So mm-hmm. that is coming, and I think that I would say that our team led by Maria and Brandon and Jeff and our contract team over the last few weeks has done incredibly valuable work for the membership in putting us in a position to be right in the middle of this during a heated budget negotiation. I'm very pleased with where we're positioned today. and the amount of behind the scenes work that goes on is remarkable. And we appreciate what they're doing, and think that we will be back with you and asking you to help us land this plane here in the next week or two. That's all I've got to add, Maria.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Brent. I appreciate that. And I think the other thing that I would just try to really encourage you to do is, it's still a good time to reach out to your legislator, even without the call to action. Invite them into your buildings. Talk to them about some of the issues that you have, for all of our providers. If you don't want to bring them into a building, or for your AL or home health, meet them at a coffee shop. Find an opportunity to have a conversation with them if you can, to discuss some of the challenges that you're experiencing and some of the funding issues. I would just, again, continue to reach out, email, call, invite them to have those conversations, because again, it's so much more impactful for them to hear directly from their constituents, who are their voters, and their people, than it is just to hear from us. So we have seen how successful it's been up to this point. I mean, I wish I could, truly explain how many people at the Capitol have come up to me and said, wow, your members are, really hitting us hard with this stuff. And, they're grateful. I don't think that there are a lot of associations, or constituency groups that really have members who follow through and really advocate for themselves as well. So I'm extremely impressed with those efforts on your part and the part of your employees. And we just encourage you to continue to do so, because it absolutely is making a difference. So are there any questions for Brent or myself? It's kind of a short update this week, but we're so heavily focused on